Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we're back. Oh, yes, thank the Most High that we're back again. Yes, indeed. After this Shabbat, thank the Most High that we're back again for another episode. Yes, for another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful to the Most High for this precious opportunity. Yes, for this precious opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words the Most High has granted us for blessing, healing, raising the conscience, my brothers and sisters, of His people. The Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, He has told me. Directly, in fact, has He told me that for His cause, I have some very important things for Him that I must do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing that which He has asked of me, He said to me that I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, I am indeed utmost utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, and I must tell you things, yes, that indeed I must tell you things, that men have done some of everything they could, yes, some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and my brothers and sisters, if they could, I said if they could, to destroy. For the Most High, indeed, my brothers and sisters, is the first and the last, is the beginning and the end. All things began in His oneness, and my brothers and sisters, oneness is certainly the eventuality. I said certainly the eventuality in all the world. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, we must understand that the preservation of the human soul rests in finding oneness, agreement, my brothers and sisters, true agreement in all that is the will, the design, the desire, plan of the One Most High. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, Most High has a value system that He delights in His people attaining. I repeat, He has a value system after which He delights that His people must attain. One scripture says it this way: if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, how about the knowledge of what is divine conscience, divine righteousness, divine justice? What indeed the Most High favors and calls a covenant acceptable as an agreement before Him. If a man receives knowledge of the truth, if he sins, if a man sin willfully, turning against that righteousness, if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of this truth, he said there's no sacrifice to be offered for his sin. Why? He is blasphemed, insulted. Yes, my brothers and sisters, insulted what the scripture calls the spirit of grace. The testimony that the Most High grants as an utmost precious gift. My brothers and sisters, I have to ask, if man cannot esteem what the Most High calls precious, what then has molded his sense of values? I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it. Please do. So much prophecy, again and again in Scripture, relates such testimony, such verses as, in Isaiah 53, he had no form or comeliness after which we should esteem him. Does that really mean, my brothers and sisters, he had no beauty, no refinement, no wisdom? No, my brothers and sisters, what it means is that man has so much so fallen short of what is divine conscience than what is precious, that what is precious, man so often is inclined consider without value, not discerning the preciousness of the gift which he is offered. Book of Revelation speaks of when Messiah appears. Even at his revelation, knowledge of his truth revealed, his covenant revealed. Scripture says, he shall appear, every eye shall see him, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters? It says all the nations shall mourn, and they shall discern him whom they have pierced. That's what they put down in your King James Version. The word actually means, my brothers and sisters, they shall discern him whom they have rejected. How about them, my brothers and sisters, that men's sense of values, esteeming so many other rulers, have not necessarily in this day and time truly discerned what it is to discern what is precious before the One Most High. what has value before him. And I dare to say, my brothers and sisters, those who cannot discern what before the Most High is precious, my brothers and sisters, themselves should be found unworthy. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, if you knew that what you have esteemed has no value, would you still defend it? Would you still uphold it? Think about what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, please, and consider. Scripture talks about men being comforted in vain, comforted in their vanities, after a multitude of false rulers, idols, what men create and esteem after their own hearts. Well, what the scriptures are actually talking about, my brothers and sisters, men being satisfied, self-satisfied after what appeases men rather than what appeases the one Most High. Think about it. Scripture says the Messiah appears in the last days, Isaiah 65. He will have to tell many, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. I will deliver you to the sword. To be cut off, in other words, my brothers and sisters, not counted among those having the same value systems or the same value system as those who are true to the consecrated spirit. Think about it. Isaiah 65 talks about those who are smoke all day in his anger. If someone comes to reprove, even if it comes to show righteousness, they say, tell them to stand afar off. Don't come near me. I'm holier than thou. Wow. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says these are smoke all day in his anger. What does scripture tell us in 1 Corinthians? If a man, well, so if any man knows anything, he knows it not as he ought to know it. And if he truly knows anything, if he knows Yah, the same, or that fact is something already known by him. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, great and precious are the truths Most I would grant to his people. But my brothers and sisters, I can only say this. 45,000 denominations in this earth across 280 nations is not the result of man having faith in the will of one, not the result of man having faith in the Most High to discern what is precious to him. 45,000 denominations is not the result of man, my brothers and sisters, falling into the condition that the scriptures relate is man's condition in these latter days. Psalms 14, Psalm 53, Most High looked upon the sons of men, saw there was none, and what it really means, none who discerns how much more they need to seek Yah. Therefore, there's none that does good, no, not one. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Men have been flattered in this society to consider themselves wise, consider themselves righteous. And in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, to consider themselves in all things acceptable before the Most High. And the scripture said we should be wise not to do this before the time. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 11 says, in the name of the Most High, we must all be one, speaking the same thing, no divisions among us. If there be divisions among us, strife and divisions, third chapter, 1 Corinthians, says, because we're carnal. How about having carnal value systems, worldly value systems, esteeming my brothers and sisters so often what the Most High says is not the greatest priority. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about it. In the book of Jacob, they call James. Say, if we're scattered among the provocations of the nations, that means what the nations call valuable, the different value systems after which the nations are divided. Faith in Yah is still supposed to bring forth a perfect work. Seeking what before the Most High is precious. Scripture says Messiah in his appearing will seek to perform all that is divine pleasure. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set justice in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. He shall not fail, the scripture says. The scripture says he shall not take a bribe. He brings forth, Most High will bring forth a righteous one. who will send his people back, bring them back to what is truly divine conscience, nothing less, and not for a price nor for a bribe. He knows what is his duty. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to discern. In scriptures in Isaiah 50:1-5, Isaiah 48, it talks about how the people of the Most High are sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. In other words, they're sworn by his name, but have they really discerned what before the Most High is truly valuable? Oftentimes, esteeming, my brothers and sisters, the flatteries of men. There are those who would defend the flatterer, thinking that it's a friend. But hear me, my brothers and sisters, flattery does not always prompt individuals to seek the greater truth of Yah in terms of what is truly precious before him. Flattery often compels men to believe that they are acceptable before the Most High after standards and ideals with which he is not pleased. If they were truly friends, if we were all truly friends of one another in the name of the Most High, we would seek to defend fully the name of the Most High. We would be willing to seek all the Most High himself has decreed. We wouldn't be satisfied with anything less. Isaiah 50:1-5 speaks of Messiah's appearing, saying, "Why, when I came, was there no man? When I spoke, was there none to answer?" You have to rebuke then, my brothers and sisters, and expose the false righteousness of the rulers. He said, "Behold, in my rebuke, I drive the seas." How about the mindscapes? The worthless ideals of the rulers, proving that these parameters after which men thought they were free were only bondage, showing the greater value system or the greater wisdom of Yah after which men should have been pursuant. His righteousness revealed. Why, when I came, was there no man? When I spoke, was there none to answer? Behold, in my rebuke, I drive the seas. In other words, I prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. Read Isaiah 44:20-45:6. Man's senses of discretion, dulled, cannot deliver themselves, cannot see that what they have trusted in and valued most in so many ways has been falsehood, unworthy. So the Most High has proved foolish, false, fleshly. How about, my brothers and sisters, that which has no value, that is seen before men to be wise, that he might establish a shepherd, that he might lead his people even unto establishing a city true to what the Most High is pleased with, that it might be a place for peace. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says the one who would do this is anointed of the Most High. I would say, my brothers and sisters, even anointed to discern what's precious, what many have not. Isaiah 29 talks about how the Messiah's appearing, relating the greater wisdom, preciousness of the testimony of the Most High. The gospel that is from on high, that is utmost precious beyond all testimony of this earth. He says it'd be like a hungry man who dreams or has dreamt that he was eating, dreamt that he was drinking. But when he awakens, he finds that he is hungry and famished. Wow. What does this mean, my brothers and sisters? What does this mean? It means that men have been beguiled to think or presume that what they have is before the Most High truly precious, truly worthy. Well, I want you to think about it. Scriptures tell us in Matthew, in the 5th chapter, really need to read that 5th chapter, 14th to 24th verse. What it's really saying, if we don't really understand it, is that we must learn what 2 Thessalonians talks about, learning how to prefer what is truly righteous rather than unrighteous, seeking to esteem what the Most High calls worthy and acceptable rather than something less. He said, if any man seeks to deceive his brother, fool his brother, deceive his brother, not to discern the value of what's hanging on the prophets, make him foolish then, therefore. Scripture says that man who would do this is guilty even unto hellfire. My brothers and sisters, what is translated hellfire was translated as such. Oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, relate to place. Sometimes it's the word there, especially when it talks about hellfire, is Gehenna, what was called the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. It was a place where all the trash was thrown, where all the garbage was thrown, wherever it was, a thing that was worthless and not conducive to the health of the society or beneficent to the society, where it was thrown, because the preservation of it can only be a filthy obstacle to the people. Well, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say anyone who would trick his brother not to discern the preciousness of what's contained in the law and the prophets is guilty even under hellfire. How about causing men to insult, even argue, against what the Most High himself calls most valuable? Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Holy Spirit, the Most High imparts upon a soul ready to receive it, that esteems the greater truth. Think about what it means. Book of Jacob, we were talking about it earlier. For man sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. We talked about that earlier. In Hebrews 10:26-31, Jacob saying that, hey, despite all the provocations or different value systems of the earth, faith must cause us to seek a perfect work. Oh, only a perfect work is acceptable. He said, if any man be double-minded, let him not think he receive anything from the Most High. If a man, my brothers and sisters, seeks to esteem that which the Most High said must be cast aside and destroyed, a barrier that must be destroyed, what is the man, my brothers and sisters, who would preserve unrighteousness? The book of Numbers say he would destroy whoever seeks to preserve. How about the wicked ways of the city? That's what said Messiah would do. How about, my brothers and sisters, whoever seeks to preserve a wicked or lawless status quo? That men might realize the need to pursue what before the Most High is greater. Scriptures over and over again keep relating the same context. Like I said in Isaiah 29, it says, be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams that he is drinking. When he awakes, he finds he's hungry and famished. Thought that he was getting doctrines acceptable before the Most High, but the scripture says the vision of all comes like a words of a book that is sealed. Men live with their lips, they're drawn to him, but their hearts, how about their sense of values? Far from him. That their worship toward the Most High is as the precepts and doctrines of men. He said, he says, shall the potter be esteemed as if he had no understanding? He said, those who would do this should be esteemed as the breaking of a potter's vessel. Because they've turned things upside down, esteemed the things of men above the things of the Most High. Well, my brothers and sisters, man is going to have to discern what before the Most High is precious if man will please him. And the scripture says, Messiah, after the anointing of the Most High, seeks to please the Most High according to all that is divine pleasure. You might notice the title to tonight's show. I was talking to somebody on another show on Blog Talk earlier. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, let's just say listening to a conversation. I can only tell you, it was very obvious that the host of the show, who esteems himself absolute in terms of his Bible knowledge, well, it's a lot of truths, my brothers and sisters, just simply went over his head. doesn't understand so much because he esteems himself already as wise. Because he would judge himself by himself. He misses the discretion of the judge. Well, I have some scripture I'd like to give attention. Like I said, Messiah said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Well, I can only say, and I'm going to go through these scriptures, that that scripture, relative to the context of the verses that were there, remember what was written in Romans 15:4, whatever is written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith in the scriptures might have hope. Take it to another dimension. Isaiah 28 tells us when Messiah appears, Hosea says the same thing, that he would write and seek to describe, elucidate upon many great things of his law, but the people can consider it a vain thing, a strange thing, a worthless thing. Isaiah 28 says his words be line upon line, precept upon precept, but it's a difficult speech for people to gauge. How about because my brothers and sisters, a different value system, having esteemed what is the found, truly the foundation upon which the words of the Most High is truly established. It's written again and again. Remember Isaiah 28. Goes into Isaiah 29. Even Isaiah 30, which says, woe to those who take counsel but not from Yah. How about esteeming something more precious than the divine testimony? It's simply because the truth of divine testimony is above their heads. Think about it. If you've been taught by rulers whose sense of the divine is after the folly of their own minds, if you've been taught by rulers who like the value, system of values, the Most High intends, how can they teach you to esteem what is truly precious or recognize it? They don't discern it. Their goal is to cause you to esteem lesser standards, that you revere them, more concerned about preserving their pulpits and thrones than they're concerned about the true healing of the human soul, reconciliation, restoration, and strength of a people. Most have not understood what the scripture says. They'll wait for him, shall renew their strength. Those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. How many understand that scripture in Isaiah 41 says that Messiah grants the people a sense of discretion, a sense of awareness, a sense of value, a sense of what is precious before the Most High, a sense of righteousness, that they would no longer be in bondage to the variant misconceits of the rulers, no longer wearied, no longer, my brothers and sisters, divided after provocative standards of men. They gain the type of discretion as to what is precious before the Most High, that they seek to please him, that they be converted beyond all the misconceits of the nations. Who, my brothers and sisters, will grant, or even of themselves, the opportunity, hearing words such as this, to discern their greater meaning? I can only tell you this, quite frankly, the Most High told me the words that I'm speaking to you, they are indeed very precious, rare, but only for the most humble soul. I'd like to look at a bit of scripture. So when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Really means when the Son of Man returns, will he find men truly pursuing for all that is divine righteousness? Or will he find most people avaricious, self-righteous, selfishly ambitious, but only according to what seems important in their own sight, rather than, my brothers and sisters, what it means to discern the kind after the kind of values that the Most High can call a man friend? So I said, you're my friend if you do. How about to also seek to preserve and guard and defend the nature of his righteousness, all that pleases him? So you're my friends if you do everything that I command you. No greater love than a man has than to lay down his life for the sake of his friends. How many willing to lay down their lives even at the throat for the Most High, for the salvation of others, might be preserved in the earth. Something to think about, my brothers and sisters. Indeed it is. See, who seeks to save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose it for the sake of my gospel, the word going forth that will bring forth the genuine redemption of mankind beyond all the misconceits and all the fallen standards and fallen value systems of this earth. He said that one will gain life eternal. Even my brothers and sisters, these such as these shall be those who inherit the world. I want you to hear me. As I said before, so many of these scriptures are ultimately talking about a value system. How many of my brothers and sisters are prepared to genuinely understand that? How many, my brothers and sisters, how many? I'd like to go to Matthew, Matthias, to relate something here. And I'd like to go also then to Luke and relate how these scriptures correlate there. I've gone to Matthew, Matthias, 7th chapter. How about 7 and 6? Matthias, Matthew, if you will, 7 and 6. Messiah said, and it was a caution. Not all people at first, my brothers and sisters, discern what is precious. But how do you know who will? So it's more of a caution than anything else. He says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Does a swine, a filthy pig, discern, my brothers and sisters, the preciousness of a pearl? Say, be careful that you give something more precious to some, more precious than they can imagine its worth. Some, not discerning the preciousness of a word, or the implications that it can contain therein, or esteeming their own sense of values, rather than recognizing that you threw them something precious, would think you were throwing them at something like an ordinary stone. Think of it as an attack against their person, against their sense of values, as if they were disrespected. And turn again to rend you, argue, not discerning the precious of what they were offered. If they recognized what it was, they would have greeted it with a smile. How often has it been, my brothers and sisters, that offering men reproof from the Most High, they have chosen to argue against the Most High rather than receive and recognize the gift they were granted? Happens all the time, my brothers and sisters, after men's value systems or after those who esteem wealth or see with esteem those who have prestige. Not all of them, my brothers and sisters, are true. In fact, rare few among them are truly what the Most High calls righteous. Because when the scripture says the most righteous appears, may we not recognize the preciousness of his appearance. We'll talk about that in a minute, but the scripture says Messiah does not come by observation. The king does not come by observation. He was in their midst, he said. We talked about this before. A prince, an emissary from the kingdom, was in their midst. And they didn't recognize who was among them. And he said, so shall be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, let's look at this in Matthew 7:7. Well, the scriptures I just mentioned are at 7:20 through 26. Need to read all the way out to 18:9. On further, really out through the entirety of the 18th chapter, because I want to do that tonight if I get the opportunity to present itself. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto those who cannot recognize the preciousness of it. You be very careful. And it says, to those who recognize what is precious, if they ask, and it means ask, seeking the Most High, that they be made before him precious. Listen to me, what I mean by that. Those who can esteem what the Most High esteems, count precious what he calls precious. Who, my brothers and sisters, are delighted in receiving a word that helps make them truly whole. Such as this, my brothers and sisters, who have faith and favor for such words, such truth. Most High offers favor. What about those, my brothers and sisters, who whenever you grant them something, they either abuse it or use it to abuse, forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof? Have they truly acted with genuine gratitude? I want you to think about it. Matthew 7:7, ask and it should be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it should be opened to you. But it's talking about asking, seeking what is pleasing to Yah, not double-minded. Not after ideals, institutions that were not founded as Rishon Achron, first and the last, the beginning and the end. What the Most High declared from the beginning is eternally precious to endure. The beginning was one. All things, my brothers and sisters, that survive will be true to one, such as the judgment. Whatever my brothers and sisters would not esteem, what the Most High esteems. We call it an obstacle against peace. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. What is man? Look at what he's saying. What is man? What man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Don't you know better than that? Your son is hungry. You think he needs a stone? Come on. If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? At 7:11, Matthew, it's relating something that most might not catch on at first. Say, if you being evil, how about lawless, not fully aware of all that is necessary for a thing to be before the Most High made pleasing? Or know all that is necessary for a thing to be replenished, made strong, brought to a state of endurance. If you being less than aware, know how to give good, what seems to be good gifts, unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, how about give even greater gifts, fully pleasing before him. What makes a soul before him precious to them that ask him? How about ask of him what it is of the human soul he desires? Romans 8 has the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is given, that the righteousness of Yah, how about what fully pleases him? What for the Most High is called fair and just. Holy Spirit is given that the righteousness, what is just, what is pleasing, appeasing, fair, lawful, before the Most High might be brought to a completion in us. The Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it, reproving all sin. How about all error? How about all, whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, that's kind of before him worthless? I know it sounds hard. The scripture says, when the scripture says he brings all things to remembrance, it means he calls to attention all that with which the Most High is pleased, all that he has spoken before, all that he calls precious. Isaiah 40 talks about when Messiah appears that the ways of whole nations be kind of like a drop in a bucket before him, worthless, because men have not known to seek all this, that is the exceeding righteousness of Yah. He said, have you not heard? Have you not understood? There's more. There's no searching of all that is divine understanding. There's always a more greater precious truth that should be you should prepare for in preparation for him who Mm-hmm. Were only called viable those who, like him, seek to perform and appease all that is divine pleasure. He said, watch out for false prophets. Why? Because they teach you false value systems, false, fallen, foolish, deceptive value systems, seeming to be enough. Did Messiah say that which is highly esteemed among men, be kind of disgusting before you? Many are the ways that seem right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Much, my brothers and sisters, that men call wise, the Most High calls sin, falling short of what gloriously honors him. Wherefore glory is honor. Think about it. He said, if you being, how about less than lawful, less than entirely just, less than being fully aware of what is truly needed by our people, less than aware of what is missing in the midst of our people, know how to give what you think is good gifts. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven, Most High, omniscient, ultimately conscious of what is necessary, that a soul be made pleasing in all things before him, give even greater gifts to them that ask him that with which he is pleased. How about Matthew 7:13? I said Matthew. Let's go on down, 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so unto them. But this is the law and the prophets. Seek in all things what is fair. Think about what it really means. In the Shema, what Messiah called the utmost command of all, says seek. Love. Many times scripture talks about seeking love is the same thing. Be considerate of. Most High, with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. How about seek the fullness of his truth? That you may love your neighbor. According to all that even that you desire for yourself. That is a covenant, my brothers, that makes a strong people. They might cooperate, love, and trust. We all seek the truth for the good of one another. Messiah said, you are my friends. You are collectively as a people, my friends. If you do, seek to appease his commandments. How about all that appeases his Father? He says, watch out for false prophets. They cry out, Lord, Lord. But not to do fully what appeases the Father, my brothers and sisters, but to please themselves. In Luke 6:46, it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, then don't do what I say? Why say that this one is the master? One who declared, my brothers and sisters, in the making of all things, the purpose of all things. Why call him Lord of Lords? Even Lord over all lords. One who declares the purpose of a human soul above all others. Nobody having the right to enslave a mind or a heart. And then don't do what I say. Think about it. 7:13 say, enter ye in then at the straight gate. How about narrow? For wide the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. Meaning most follow after a value system with which the Most High cannot be pleased. Because straight is a gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Most walk the errant, crooked path. Sense of values, my brothers and sisters, was what needs to be sharpened. See, beware of false prophets. Again, we talk about the word false. False, foolish, fallen, flawed. Deceptive, seeming to be enough, but not enough. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, as if they follow a shepherd, but with the inwardly they are ravening wolves. You should ask, my brothers and sisters, what kind of deception this is. Many of them, my brothers and sisters, who seem to be humble, openly for the good of the flock. My brothers and sisters, if they would, they'd tear it apart. esteeming themselves and their pulpits and thrones above the reconciliation of a people. What are they, my brothers and sisters? Yah is one. His people must be one. What are they, my brothers and sisters, who are divided as people after lesser standards? Not discerning what scripture means, you shall not take the name of the Most High in vain. You shall not call upon his name not to appease all his will. Many are seeking to do so after appeasing themselves are only divisive, curses, damnations, divisions of a people, contentions, confusion, debate and doubt. Faith, my brothers and sisters, exceeding all the contentions of this world, is after the will of one. It says you shall know them by their fruits. What's meant by this? Let's examine it more closely. It says you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You need to watch out where or in recognition of what the origin and intent of a thing is. My brothers and sisters, there's so many things that this indiscriminate world has called wise, called to be esteemed. But the truth of the matter, the Most High knows this is just the remembrance and preservation of pollution that, quite frankly, the Most High never declared. How many would be shocked if you told them that even terms like Christ and Christian, there were those who worship pagan sun gods. Yes, indeed. Heaven help us. Jesus Christos. You told them that the early church was not called Christian. Pagans call themselves that. Much as a few hundred years for the birth of Messiah. If you want to know what the early church truly called themselves, please check out on my website. It's an article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Understand the principle of what they call themselves. This reminds me much more true to his name. You see, not everyone, here we are, a good tree cannot bring forth, 7:17, every good tree brings forth good fruit. Good here meaning mature, whole, but corrupt, they put down corrupt. Be far better there to translate this worthless, rotten, insufficient. How about a tree, my brothers and sisters, that doesn't hold to its fruit? A good tree will hold the fruit to the fruit that is on it till it's fully ripe. Bad tree drops its fruit before the time. So even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. It's fully matured, fully acceptable, all that it was intended to be for the good of him who planted the tree. How about a worthless tree bringing forth, they put down evil. How about immature, not whole fruit? Drops its fruit before the time, but the fruit, the ultimate tree, brings forth nothing. Scripture tells us in Hebrews, around the sixth chapter, that the tree that brings forth fruit, the rain brings upon it, and brings forth good fruit, it's found worthy, but if not, it's not far from being burned. Well, see, every tree that brings forth not good fruit does not bring forth mature fruit. You keep on thinking about it. You're planting a tree, you're fertilizing it, it gets rain and due season, water, everything that it needs, but never brings forth full fruit. Do you keep that tree among, you keep that tree in your vineyard? Or would you say it's far better to plant a better tree rather than allow the seed of that tree to spread in the midst of your orchard or whatever? That at the end of the day, that you have an orchard full of trees that always drop the fruit before the time? Think about it. Every tree that bring forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Most High preserves what is worthy. Wherefore, by their fruit shall you know them. The first step is you need to know what is mature. You need to ask the Most High, beyond all that you see, what is missing. 45,000 denominations do not come as a result of men seeking all that is pure and complete. 45,000 denominations have to do with men choosing to esteem what they see wise after their own hearts. Messiah said, if you allow anybody to trick you to thinking anything less than the fullness of the law and the prophets is viable, he says you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. It means you've been serving to another. You take everything that he said in consideration, discern what the Most High calls pleasing, even that you be able, upon hearing the greater truths, to know what is precious that you might follow. Here, 7:21. How do you know? First, before we go there, how people are so quick to think that they know all that they need to know? Scripture says Messiah, when he comes, is going to come to reveal the righteousness the men had not known. He said he has a name on him which no man knew but he himself. The word for name that is there is actually related to the idea about he has principles. Concepts that men, my brothers and sisters, had not known, not nearly sufficiently enough to in all things be called wise. What scripture says, they who wait for him shall renew their strength. Even the young men shall be weary and stumble. But he talks about strengthening the people that they might not anymore be caught after the misconceits of the rulers. Read Isaiah 40:27-41:4. Understand what I'm talking about. Well, he says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of Yah, kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, and that means seeks fully and completely all that with which the Most High is pleased. Man seeks less than this, and they argue about still being valuable, worthy. It's only a multitude of contentions. We call upon his name, in the name of him who is all that he is. We call upon him, our brothers and sisters, to reveal to us all his will, that together, collectively, there be no arguments. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything. There be no arguments, no confusion, no division, no misunderstanding, no misinterpretation. But my brothers and sisters, men seeking deviant, devilish standards. Have my brothers and sisters been complicit with him who is the author of confusion? Let us understand. Scriptures tell us, if we seek and call anything else the gospel, something that you call the gospel that is a lesser word, say, let that man be accursed, because he divides and takes men away from seeking the greater truth. Every half-truth and lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater dimension of truth. The greatest wisdom is not what people think they know or call value. Greatest truth is not what people think they know or call valuable, my brothers and sisters, but what they don't know. That's what's precious. For man, my brothers and sisters, not considering all that the Most High has declared we must consider, well, quite frankly, that's not wisdom at all. He said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. How about prizes and values, if you will? Discerns, prizes, value, understands. Even desires what is the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? How about truly your values, what is honorable before you? Said, have we not prophesied, preached according to what you call honorable. What the Most High calls honorable. What scripture say Messiah will come to do? He will magnify his will, knowing the Most High will please for his righteousness, say he will magnify the law of the Most High unto a state that before the Most High is honorable. But who's prepared to listen to him? And who would prefer to hear another counsel? Read Isaiah 42 closely. He said he would lead the blind by way that they knew not. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? According to what is his authority, what he calls precious, honorable, worthy. In thy name cast out devils, cast out that which is deviant, unworthy, less than viable. In thy name, according to what is divine value, done many wonderful, inspired, because that's what wonderful means, inspired works. He said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. In other words, what you call precious, what you call viable, wasn't after my spirit. See, I never knew you. We never had an association. If you would know far better. You that work iniquity, injustice. How many are prepared to understand, brothers and sisters? The Most High says and does nothing without reason. What are those who compel to believe, my brothers and sisters, that he would deny any part of the law and the prophets, that men be justified of and by themselves? Most High will not deny himself. It says in 2 Timothy, therefore we must seek, my brothers and sisters, to be completely furnished unto all good work, studying this to be approved before him. Yes, indeed. As a workman that need not be ashamed, are shown that his thoughts, works, conceits are not worthy of the name. Maybe I need to explain that word ashamed. Maybe I need to explain it. Hebrew word for the word name is also the word shem. Ashamed. How about stripped of being counted worthy unto the holy name? The name, my brothers and sisters, the Most High said, he will certify and approve what deserves to be preserved. And the scripture talks about those who are sealed and confirmed with his name. That the wrath of Yah would pass them by. Read Revelation 9 and 4. To the wrath of Yah upon all those who have not the name of the Father written upon their brows, for those who are not certified, confirmed, according to all that is written in the book of the law to do it, to perform it in righteousness. It curses everyone who is seeking anything less. Most I told me a long time ago, he said, anytime man is subject to any conscience less than his own, it is tribulation, it is trouble, it is unrest. And the only offering the Most High will accept of this earth is peace, wrought of agreement with him. A man is a servant, him whose law, how about value systems, he esteems to obey. Shall we continue in sin after misallegiances, lesser standards, confusions, demigods? And still expect before the Most High to have favor? I say, think again. We ask the Most High for His Spirit that we might discern, my brothers and sisters, what is precious before Him, that we might be made precious. Receive the engrafted and precious word which is able to save your souls. What the scripture tells us in the book of Jacob, they call James. Every gift from the Most High is an invariant one, without variableness or sign of change. Scripture goes on in the book of Jacob, talking about if you esteem men because they walk around with rings on every finger, have you not blasphemed the holy name by which you are called? Have not those who are wealthy, my brothers and sisters, been those who oftentimes exploit? Those who they consider less than they? Yes, he said that whoever would keep the law of the Most High, and it is, the Most High does not deny any part of his law. He said whoever would keep the Most High, the law of the Most High, if he failed one statute, he's guilty as to the whole law because he broke the law of the lawgiver. to break the law, my brothers and sisters, is not peace. So we shall walk as men who walk after the law of liberty. How about liberated from the fallen standards of men? Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth. The truth will set you free. How about set you free from those who would never tell you the whole truth and would therefore keep you in bondage? Yes, my brothers and sisters, it's time to discern these things far better. Let's go back to Matthew. I've a lot to talk about. Still need to get over to Luke. We got two chapters in Luke to try to get at. Wow. Uh, 7:24. Whoever hears, and the word for hears means understands, to obey. Hears, understands, to obey. To know what is said and not know why it is said is a missed point. Therefore, whoever hears these words, sayings of mine, and does them, how about discerns them? I would liken him to a wise man. If a man has the words and doesn't understand them, and doesn't realize the need to obey them, is that wisdom? Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, he said, I would liken him to a wise man who would build his house upon a rock, solid foundation. And the rains descended, he said. The floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded. This foundation is a rock. What is sand, my brothers and sisters, but that which dissipates from the rock under pressure, under worldly influence? Difference between rock and sand, my brothers and sisters, and everyone that hears these words of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. How about the greater reproof of the Most High? Beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Compare this to Isaiah 28 and understand where these scriptures come from. Scripture says the Messiah is appearing, his word is line upon line, precept upon precept, and because men have trusted the rulers, and they will not discern the preciousness of his speech. Therefore you cry out to them, hearken to me, listen to my speech. Let your bonds be made tight, let your chastisement be severe. For I've heard from the Most High of a consumption required upon the whole earth. In other words, he will prove the nature of every soul as to whether or not they will serve Yah according to the fullness of his will or not. Talking about value systems here, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at, how about the seventh chapter of Luke. Seventh chapter of the book of Luke. What was Messiah really talking about here? Raphu. Are they who discern these scriptures? Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, most have not discerned these scriptures in the context of the scenario that Messiah was speaking of. I would tell you that without the previous understanding, that is at Zephaniah 2:15 through 3 and 6 through what? 13 through 20 even. About that wicked city of wicked judges. For many of my brothers and sisters, it might be difficult to understand, especially what's in the 18th chapter. Those not having the former information, that is in Isaiah 34, wherever the carcass is, there were the vultures gathered, would have a hard time understanding these scriptures. Those who don't understand the secret city prophecies concerning that city from which Messiah must emerge to reprove all the unrighteousness of the world, we have a hard time discerning these scriptures. Those who are unwilling to accept that when the scriptures actually say, they're asking when will the kingdom of Yah come? He said, if it was in the word that's translated that kingdom, should better be translated, my brothers and sisters, the king. You don't have a kingdom without the king. He said, the king, a prince, an emissary from the kingdom, is among you, even as was Lot and Noah, and people didn't recognize him until great destruction came. He says, so shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They ask him where it was. He said, what place? What locality? How about it? What city? He said, wherever the carcass is, there were the vultures gathered. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 50 says, Messiah comes. He will ask the question, why when I came was there no man? When I spoke, was there none to answer? Yes, indeed, a lot of things to be understood before you start examining these scriptures and understanding truly what's there. I'm giving a brief synopsis before we go into it. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? He will talk about a wicked judge that will avenge those who cry out to them according to, you know, what the, even the wicked judge might recognize to some level is worthy to be a righteousness or an injustice worthy to be avenged. But it's just like the scripture we saw in Matthew when talking about the idea about the Most High having a sense of values. He esteems truly those who esteem what he esteems. But he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Will he find men crying out to him according to his righteousness? Or will it be something less? And in an arena, my brothers and sisters, of wicked judges, wicked rulers, inconscient and inconsiderate rulers. Shall man discern beyond their rulers? In such an environment, Messiah said, your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. That means you have to attain to a greater conscience, even awareness of the law and the prophets, than what is common among your rulers. Anything less, my brothers and sisters, he did not say was viable. Luke 17. Wow. Let's start there. I have just enough time to get through most of this. And it said, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Yah should come, he answered, said, the kingdom, they put down kingdom. How about the prince, the Son of Man, cometh not according to what is easy observation, not according to the conscience of men. Neither shall they say, lo, here, there, behold, most won't recognize it, him even his appearing. They ask when he would come and when he would appear. See, when they say, lo, here, there. So he says, behold, the king is right here in the midst of you now. And he said, just as it is in this day, when he was speaking to the Pharisees of his time, he says, so shall it be in the day that the king appears. If you look at Zephaniah 3rd chapter, it talks about Messiah at a city. Because men have been taught in a lawless fashion, not knowing what to look for. He said, though he brings forth justice every day to light, morning by morning, he brings forth what the Most High has taught. And read Isaiah 50 chapter 1 through 5. So the wicked, the lawless, those who did not understand the preciousness of a greater word, would know no shame. That this is a precious word by which they could be approved, a word by which they could find peace with the Most High. He said, you have to destroy that city that the world recognize again what is precious. Most High told me this is going to be all about respect, because without a reference point, men have not known how to revere him. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Yah would come, he answered and said, the prince is right there in your midst. Comes not by observation. In other words, have you recognized? He's saying, have you recognized this righteousness? Neither say, lo here or lo there, for the whole, the prince right here in your midst, and you don't see him. That's really what it means. Luke 17:22, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. I'm talking about a time when he would not be present, and you should not see it. Amos 8:11-12. Talks about a time when men will go to and fro the earth looking for the word of the Most High, the pure, perfect word, unadulterated word, the word that is from Yah, not double-minded, not twisted, not misinterpreted upon another foundation, nor abused unto another purpose. They say we go to and fro, sea and land, seeking such a word, and would not find it. But it talks about a time when he would appear. And for a long time, brothers and sisters, having not seen such a word, men want to esteem a lesser standard as if it was still yet viable, not recognizing, or not choosing not to recognize how they've been made in so many ways deceived and gullible rather than perceptive of what is truly precious. Hadn't dealt with it for a long time. 17:23. And they shall say unto you, see here, see there. Talking about in that time. Do not follow them. And at 17:24, here's the key. He says, as the lightning lightens, or let's just say as the sun lights up one part of the heaven and shines to the other part of the heaven, so shall the coming of the Son of Man, so shall be the Son, also be the Son of Man in his day. To understand this scripture, you need to go to Isaiah, the 24th chapter. And it talks about Messiah appearing out of a place in the west, that they would rejoice of his appearing, rejoice concerning his final appearing in the east. Scripture says in Isaiah 45, when he first appears, and believe me, my brothers and sisters, this will not be the second appearing of Messiah. Isaiah says at least it's the third. Talks about one that it should be known from the rising sun, rising of the sun to the west, the lighting of the sun, the rising of the sun in the east, even unto the west. Men should know that there's only one salvation. One pattern, my brothers and sisters, that fully appeased the Most High unto preservation, that you might survive the judgment. So in Isaiah 45 and 6. If only men better understood Isaiah 45, all the prophecies that are there speak of Messiah himself in the latter day. And not to discern that is not to discern who Messiah is. I repeat, not to discern that is not to discern who Messiah's city is. When he said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Morning star is an epithet, brothers and sisters, for the sun that suddenly appears in its rising to cast out all the darkness, reveal the light the world would obscure, and to show that so much what men call wisdom to be just another variation of darkness, where men would not see the greater light lest they be proved sons of darkness. We say, first must he suffer many things, be rejected by this generation. Talking about that generation, but he says, so it should be in the days of the Son of Man. Say, so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Meaning, as it was in the days of Noah, when Noah warned ultimately the known world concerning the flood that was coming. He warned for destruction as an emissary of the kingdom. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So they did eat, they drank, they married wives. Everybody planned their own ways. Were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Still not prepared, even to the last moment. Luke 17:28. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. Lot warned Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about it. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. There's some testimony, brothers and sisters, that's not in our 66 books. It says that wisdom delivered righteous Lot from the five cities. The city is, what is it called? The city of destruction. Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboiim, and Zoar. Five cities that were the five city metroplex. Scripture calls it in Isaiah 19, the five cities, Isaiah 19:18, from which Messiah shall emerge, a city called City of Destruction. The men, brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 25, recognizing the destruction of all the precepts that they call viable, invaluable. All the cities of the nations fall, all the values of the world are proven fish. And all people should revere one. Rejoicing in his salvation, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Even my brothers and sisters, that he wipe away all tears from off all eyes. All the same story. Secret City Prophecies, my brothers and sisters, hiddengospel.com. Please check out that article and check it out thoroughly. I promise you need it. Say, likewise, it wasn't the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day the Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The book of Genesis talks about the angels that had Lot to remove himself and his family from the city. But there's the testimony that speaks of Lot warning. Speaks of Lot warning at five city metroplex. Yes, my brother says there's more testimony to still yet be recovered. Not saying it's not available. I just say it's given attention. In that day, he which shall be upon the rooftop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it. He that is on the field, let him not likewise, let him not return back. So remember Lot's wife. She turned back. She went after what she had esteemed, not recognizing what was more precious in the preservation of her life, and what the Most High would have wrought before them. Say, whoever shall seek to save his life, value systems again, my brothers and sisters, shall lose it. Shall lose his life, and Scripture said, ultimately for the sake of his gospel. A word that will convert the mind, heart, and soul into something precious in the Most High, those are the ones he shall preserve. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. They put down men, but that's italicized, something they added. There'll be two in one bed, one should be taken, the other left. Don't think that has to do with homosexuality. That's not what it's talking about. Two could be a man and a woman. They put down men here. You need to ask some questions about the rulers and their down low ways. I tell you that night should be two in one bed. One should be taken, the other left. Two, they put down women, should be grinding together. They're talking about like grind flour. One should be taken, the other left. 1736, two shall be in the field. One should be taken, the other left. Taken from what, my brothers and sisters, shall depart and shall escape the destruction. And they answered, or they asked of him, where, Lord? Some text said, what place? What locality? How about at what city? Did you hear me? At what city? He said, wherever the body is, wherever the carcass is, they put down eagles. But those of you who have seen what I'm talking about know that the silhouette of an eagle and a vulture looks somewhat similar in the high skies. It means wherever the carcass is, there will the vultures be gathered together. That scripture needs to be given consideration of Isaiah 34, when it says the Most High has indignation against all the nations. And again, we find the scripture, wherever the carcass is, there where the vultures gather. And it talks about a place, ultimately, my brothers and sisters, at which the Most High shall gain, again, the respect of all people by declaring a reference point beyond all confusion. It says, seek out the book of the Most High, and not one of these shall fail. Every point, the Most High said, should be gathered together with its mate. Most High says nothing without reason. Everything he said reinforces all else. Blessed are they who will understand that this is talking about that Armageddon-like experience that the prophecies speak of, whereby the Most High talks about all the kings, all the principles of the world should be gathered to one place, and he should rebuke them all from one place, that the whole world should know that time for playing games is over. Kings running for cover, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. Same kind of scripture, my brothers and sisters, we find at Revelation 6:12 through 7:17. Same kind of scripture we find at Isaiah. We need to read through the first, second chapter. Same kind of context. The day of his wrath has come. Hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. The day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? The rulers, my brothers and sisters, teach decrepit standards with which the Most High is not pleased. How shall men stand who fall out to their unrighteousness? Scripture talking about one called the angel from the rising sun, the king of the east, the messenger of light. He has the seal of the living Yah. He has confirmation that he is true to the covenant. Blessed are they who follow after him. He says, he will even seek the redemption of his people, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees. To seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. In other words, they those who reveal to whom he reveals his righteousness, who listen They'll be confirmed to survive the wrath that is to come, for they are worthy. How about 18:1? He spoke a parable to them at this end, that they might always to pray and not to faint. Always seeking and petitioning the Most High for the greater knowledge of his righteousness. He said, we shall attain to this righteousness if we faint not. Luke 18:2, saying there was in a city a place, a judge. Very much like what's said in Zephaniah 2:15-3-6. Concerning a wicked, a lawless city where, again, the scriptures say Messiah, the just Lord, the righteous one, is in the midst. He brings his justice to light every day, but the wicked, not recognizing the precious word, know no shame. Well, it said there was in a city a judge, which feared not Yah, neither regarded man. In other words, get my point, no reverence or respect for genuinely higher conscience. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not, talking about the wicked judge, the lawless judge, the indifferent judge. He would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not Yah, nor regard man. In other words, doesn't discern what is truly precious or what is just. He said, yet because this widow troubles me, in other words, constantly needle at him for justice. Say, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me and even vex her. Most High said, hear what if the unjust judge thought to do what is good. He says, shall not Yah avenge his elect, the ones he calls to understanding, who would appeal to him for true divine justice? Which cried day and night unto him. Consider Isaiah 26, where it talks about that, chapter 25, it talks about that city. Talking about those who in the night sought for his righteousness. They will cry one day, other lords may have had dominion over us, but now by thee and thee only we make mention of thy name. These, my brothers and sisters, are those who have participation as a strong people. He says, shall not Yah avenge his own elect, the ones who walk according to his understanding, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, his perseverance with them unto their attainment? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Shall he find a people who seek the higher, exceeding knowledge of his righteousness? Shall he find anyone petitioning for the fullness of his righteousness? Or shall he find a people more inclined to seek to rend, argue, contend with one who would show them a precious word? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Said, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other, how about a politician? Seeking what esteems men, esteemed before men. Yeah, I know they probably will tell you what a Republican is, but I'm telling you, how about a politician whose sense of values is one where he compromises the will of the Most High to appease as many people as he can, that he might, how about broker their power, the influence they have over many? Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself. Yeah, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners. Yes, they were. Unjust. Yes, they were. Adulterous, even as this politician. Understand, he said, you're my friends if you do everything. How about declare to your brother, even for your own sake, all that he declares to obey it? That would be a righteous example with which the Most High can be pleased. See, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The politician, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Yah, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified more than the other. For everyone that exalts himself should be abased. In other words, he exalts his, or let's just say, prizes his own will and ideals, avocations. It's more precious than the will of Yah. Hey, the raising of a human conscience. These shall be abased or ashamed. but he who humbles himself under divine will shall be exalted. But how many of my brothers and sisters who seek the esteem of men are willing to humble themselves to realize and declare a need for a greater righteousness than their own? These, my brothers and sisters, who esteem to call themselves rulers, and would prefer to believe a deceiver and even be deceivers, and admit they are deceived and that they are unrighteous. They brought also to him infants, and that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him or cast him away. But Yeshua called unto them, say, suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of Yah. Precious are those, my brothers and sisters, who are to seek to esteem and learn what the Most High calls precious. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of Yah as a little child, but is wise for the Most High. Whoever, my brothers and sisters, will not seek the Most High, be humble before him to discern his ways. He said, if you not learn his ways, you should not enter into his rest. Look at Psalms 95. Look at Hebrews 3 through 4. Discerning, my brothers and sisters, the need to keep a Shabbat according to all the Most High declares. He says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm looking at my time. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, he said, why callest me good? There's none good save one, that is Yah. Say, you know, if you think you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Said the rich man said, I've kept all these from my youth. At least the best he understood it.
90
Messiah
seconds.
Said, you lack one of these things. He said, you still covet it, if you get my point. You're still studying the things of men. And sell all you have, distribute it to the poor, you who trust in wealth. And come and follow me. I'm giving myself just a little bit more time concerning what he was being offered the opportunity to follow what is truly precious. Let's see what I can do by giving myself at least a few more minutes.
60 seconds.
Give me just a moment, please. All right. Here we go. Come and follow me. Offer the opportunity to follow what is truly precious. When he heard this, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich. He knew that his esteem was, he had more so esteemed men. And what is esteemed before men? What are those who esteem, my brothers and sisters, those who utmost esteem material rather than spiritual things? When Yeshua saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches or rely upon riches enter into the kingdom of Yah? Either for, because understand, the kingdom of Yah, Most High wants fairness and equity among his people. For it's either for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle. Let me tell you that word for camel is a rope. A whale. Need to understand gambler. Let me go back. The word gambler. Sometimes in the Greek they put down camelos. Gamel. Just look at the words in the original language. Confusion, my brothers and sisters. A camel is an Eastern word. Because there's no camels in the West. Greeks didn't understand what a camel was. They adopted the words from the folks in the East. But there's the word gamel. My brothers and sisters, in the Hebrew, would be far better if they understood that to be a rope. How about, my brothers and sisters, how hard it is for those who delight in excess to pass through that narrow the narrow path to gain what is truly precious on the other side. If what you need to pass through, my brothers and sisters, is small as a needle, the excess you have is a liability to you. Much easier, my brothers and sisters, for a thread to get through the eye of a needle than a rope, which is was a many filaments. Either for a rope to go through the eye of a needle, then for a rich man to enter the kingdom of Yah. Scripture then went on to say, when they heard this, the disciples heard it, say, who can be saved? I mean, if a rich man doesn't understand what is valuable, he said,
Who then can be saved? Who then can be made whole? Who can discern what is precious? He said, this is impossible with men. To be truly made unto what is precious is not a thing after the flesh, but after the spirit. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. He said that which that are impossible with men after the zeal of men are possible with the eye to attain to all that with which the Most High is ultimately pleased, called viable. And then Peter, Cephas said, lo, we have all left all and followed thee. Talking about what is most precious. He said to them, verily I say to you, there's no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom's sake, who shall not receive manyfold more, many times more, in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Many, my brothers and sisters, following what is most precious is the gaining of what is utmost precious. Yes, my brothers and sisters, much to be understood. Blessed are they then, my brothers and sisters, who seek the Most High, discerning what he calls precious. For what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Did they tell you what that really means? Your soul is your physical body in this case. If you have nothing with which to inherit, move viably among the things that you say you've inherited, what good is it? You have $1 billion, but you can't walk to get it. How much more precious, my brothers and sisters, than is what is truly precious. Well, my brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. To his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! Thank you all again, yes I do, for listening. I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near.